Chattering. This is Magic the Chattering, a Night of the Living Geeks production. I'm one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again is my awesome partner, Mr. Brandon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. We have two guests today. We have Felicia and John.
Welcome, Felicia and John.
Hello.
Hello there.
So, Felicia and John, we met at Channel Fireball, I think when they were still in their 3rd Street location, and this was, what, Rise? I think it was Rise of the Eldrazi, round about there.
Yeah, round about there. That's when that's when we came back into Magic this time around. So.
Yeah, because I think we had met at, like, one of those the Super Sealeds.
I believe so, yeah.
That's yeah, it was, like, right around M11 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible event.
How dare you speak ill of M11?
I only say that it was terrible because I did horrible that day. I opened utter garbage and totally thought, yeah, I'm good at this. I could make a great deck.
Remember, we learned.
I have never been lucky in sealed, so every time I've done a sealed since then, it's been fairly bad, except for like one or two where I've gotten really lucky, but.
Oh, you mean totally like that time when we sat next to each other for Battle for Zendikar and I gave you a Bloodstainmire expedition?
I still thank you for that, by the way. That was amazing.
That's quite a gift.
Generous
yes,
donation.
Indeed.
So, Felicia and John, who are your commanders?
My commander is actually Kemba Kaur Regent currently. She's actually a pretty good one. I like her. I like her a lot. I used to run Tristani, but nobody liked playing against Tristani. So
you mean people Tristani's got upset when you were at 300 to 400 life?
Yeah. Well, 300 to 400 life was like turn 6, turn 7, something like that. But yeah, that's the basic gist of it.
Did you have the Stonehorn Dignitary? No. What's the one I'm thinking of? Stonehorn. The one that which doubles one? Your life gain.
Oh, no, I didn't have that
Rock's Faithmender?
Rock's Faithmender combo. Yeah.
I did not have that one, no.
He was being
nice. I was just pure going into, I'm going to get all this out, I'm going to Genesis Wave everything in, and then I'll pop a Johnny to get an Avatar token that doubles my life. So that's perfectly fine.
Don't give him an idea with a Faithmender.
No, I'm just making notes here.
I already had the idea, hon. It was just I couldn't fit him in the deck, honestly. That's what it came down to.
I like Kemba Kaur Regent though.
Is it the tokens plan or is it the Voltron plan?
Voltron plan. I've got one of each of the swords in there. I've got Umezawa's Jit. I've got all the basic equipment in there. Pure Steel Paladin, Lian and Shikari, just for the fun shenanigans of you're targeting that? I'm gonna swap all the swords over to that one then.
He stated modestly.
It's a fun deck. It's a fun deck. I have to admit that.
Awesome. I see you have the same definition of fun as Brandon.
Yes, this is why we're friends.
Exactly. That's
so, Felicia, who do you play?
So, mine is actually Chromat the Derp Snake, backed up with all the freaking dragon religions.
Oh, nice.
You know, that seems to be a really common thread for Chromat. Either he's really wacky combo, or he just pretty much plays 5-color good stuff.
Yeah,
I pretty much got everything from Invasion, Planet Chaos, and the new 2-color ones.
Oh, from Khan's Block?
Yeah.
Oh man, those dragons are so good.
And just like all of their charms, all of their attendants, lands, whatever.
And you can't forget about Dragon Arch because yeah.
Oh, I think that's kind of a given, right?
Yeah.
Why pay full cost for things? That makes no sense.
Oh no, you have to get a discount.
Yeah, exactly.
So both Felicia and John, you've both been in the judge program, if I remember right, and I believe Felicia, you are an active judge right now.
No, actually, he's the active judge right now. I need to get back into it at some point.
Yeah.
So the judge program, for anybody who doesn't know, they make sure that when people are playing official events, things stay on track. People follow the way the card rules work, and the judges pretty much resolve any questions or concerns or comments about how cards are played or how cards interact.
Yep.
And would you say this is one of the better ideas that you've had within your Magic career, or would you say it's not for everybody?
It's certainly not for everybody. I mean, a lot of people do join the program thinking, oh, I can get these awesome promos and stuff like that. But it's definitely fun, and it's actually made me a better player just because understanding how the rules work and stuff like that in the background. So but it's definitely not for everybody.
Yeah, I'll agree with him that, no, it is definitely not for everybody. It's like, yes, there are some rewards for it because – being in the judge program, you are never working for free. But it is definitely something of, you are more for the love of the game. So if you're looking at it to just actually essentially try to make money off of it, it's not going to work. It is way too much hard work for that. But it's definitely fulfilling because we actually, as judges, especially at the Grand Prix and Pro Tours, we're mostly the ones that are actually running the show.
Yeah, the TOs are kind of more pomp and circumstance, right?
Yeah, it's like they'll handle the financial part of it. They'll handle what events they want to do. But when it gets down to the nitty gritty of, you know, getting the events going, scores, announcing everything, and honestly, just general upkeep of keeping the events going, it is definitely all on the judges.
And yeah. John, you're currently a level one judge?
I am currently level one judge, yes, as of 2 weeks ago. Actually, I re-upped on that, so.
Very nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Mitch and I both had plans, lofty plans, to be judges, and then we kind of both looked at it and went, yeah, this is too much work.
I had fun reading the rules through a couple of times, and I took the rules, like, the lowest level quiz one time.
The rules advisor?
Yeah, that's the one. But that was all I could do.
I gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think we had both made it through that part, and then we were kind of looking at each other like, is this really worth it? Oh, man. So, yeah. It is an exciting time right now because we have some spoilers for Shadows Over Innistrad.
Yeah.
And this set's looking pretty good, especially with the Avacyn that they just revealed with the flip Avacyn.
Oh, the flip Avacyn's really cool, and I'm enjoying the stories and the lore behind this too. So it seems like a very interesting set.
She's super angry.
Oh yeah, no, she's kind of getting all corrupted by whatever's happening in Innistrad as well, which is kind of surprising considering her origins and everything.
Maybe she went a little crazy, locked up in that the Hedron for the Hell Vault for so long.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Hedron. That's not right at all.
Wrong plane.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We've got so many good cards, especially like Bygone Bishop, Declaration in Stone.
I'm looking forward to Declaration in Stone.
Oh, man. I kind of first looked at it and was like, oh, there are people dying. Oh, no, there are people stuck in stone. Like, it was... I had to double take on that picture.
Yeah.
And then
Declaration in Stone looks good.
They made the quote-unquote fair aberrant researcher. So the new quote-unquote fair delver.
Yeah.
So he just gets bigger.
But it's a 5/4.
Yeah, 5/4.
Oh. Yeah, then they also have that the Relentless Dead. That card looks really awesome.
Oh my god, that card is already started. It's not even out and it's breaking modern decks.
Right? Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, the card is so good. You know, 2 black, 2/2 menace. When it dies, you pay a black and return it to your hand, to owner's hand. And then when it dies, you can pay X. If you do, return another zombie card from converted mana cost X from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah.
This is definitely mythic quality. Like, this is a great card.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Especially since you're able to do both of those. So it's like, okay, nope, I'll get my Relentless Dead back and return something. Well, now what you're going to do?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I had to read the card a few times to actually understand, okay, so this is really what they intended.
Yeah.
Like, this is really what they want. And I know so many people right now who are just pre-ordering the crap out of it because they don't want to pay more than the 16 it is now.
Yeah.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah, and I know some people for another one that was spoiled, the Thing in the Ice, that they're wanting to build a control deck around it.
Oh, God, Thing in the Ice is so good. So Thing in the Ice is one and a blue. It's a 0/4 defender, and it enters the battlefield with four ice counters on it. When you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you remove an ice counter from Thing in the Ice, and then if there are no ice counters, you transform it. And then it becomes Awoken Horror. And Awoken Horror is exactly what it is. It's a 7/8. When this creature transforms into Awoken Horror, return all non-horror creatures to their owner's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of impressive.
Yeah, this is gonna be pretty good. Especially with so many abusable cards.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk actually right now about the whole three color splash four is gonna start going away, and it's gonna be two color splash one.
Yeah, I can see that with the fetch lands going away.
Yeah, yeah. Mana, the land management's gonna be so tough coming up without, you know, we always get so used to something and then we realize how good we had it after they rotate out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of things that are like red blue control splash white. They're kind of shadows of what they used to be. So the whole Dark Jeskai is going away, and it's just kind of semi Jeskai.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know the one I'm looking at is Blue Red Madness, which is going to be funny.
Oh man, Madness coming back is so nuts. Especially giving us Fiery Temper back. Like, the card's so good.
Right?
Exactly.
Incorrigible Youths. I love it. Like, this card is so silly, and it's so good.
Oh. Yeah, it's harkening back to when I started, which is just giving me all sorts of happy feelings.
Yeah, there's so many cards that like activate. You know, there's so many cards that's like Elusive Tormentor. You know, pay one, discard a card. There's Ravenous Bloodseeker, just straight up discard a card and it becomes a 3/1.
Yeah, there's a lot of mana enable in this, in just this first bit of spoilers here. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and there's always Jace.
Oh yes, there's always Jace.
Speaking of that, I kind of wonder if we're going to see another new Jace in this, since he's been kind of the focal point of Shadows.
Oh, I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got his mug plastered on all of the product pictures.
To be fair, that could be any other Magic set. But...
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I mean we already have one Planeswalker spoiled, even though she hasn't actually been shown.
It's spoiled, yeah.
It's Arlen Cord, and she's going to be a Werewolf Planeswalker. So
yeah, I find that incredibly nice. Incredibly nice and incredibly interesting, too. Just kind of how they're branching out the Planeswalkers a little bit more instead of just being basic humans and stuff now. It's like, oh, this is a werewolf. We have a goblin one in Commander. We're getting a little bit more racial diversity, I guess, in some of the Planeswalkers and stuff. It's interesting to see.
See, I wonder if they'll actually have her be, like, Planeswalker on both sides, like Garrick Relentless was. Or if she'll be like a creature on one side and flip back into a planeswalker.
It kind of brings up a lot of speculation because the whole werewolf mechanic with flipping back and forth, you know, this could either be really great, great and game breaking, or it could be really detrimental to her getting played in anything.
Yeah. I mean, they did experiment with it in the, with the Origins Walkers and stuff like that, like Kid Jace and Kid Nissa and stuff like that. But
yeah, but they don't flip back. That's the thing.
Yeah, the flipping back would be the problem.
Yeah, I think for the simplistic route, they're probably keeping a Planeswalker on both sides, but I could be wrong. They did that with, like you said, Garrick Relentless in the original Innistrad. So
yeah, I think it would either be like creature on one side, Planeswalker on the other, or like creature on the front, Planeswalker on the back, like they were with the Magic Origins Planeswalkers. Or Planeswalker both sides, and one just characters is just her as a werewolf.
Yeah,
yeah. That would keep it simple.
Yeah,
yeah. She might have like a unique transformation thing, given the werewolf thing, though, which might be interesting to see if they pan something out with that.
Yeah, definitely.
They add special text that's not an ability on a Planeswalker card, besides like the ones they had for the commanders where it was like this card used as a general. If it had like a rules text that was like, if this happens, then flip it, like for the werewolf cards that they had before.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, that could be pretty interesting. That could also add in some interesting flavor to the game. Like, she can't even control her transformation sometimes. That could also add some strategy in to where, you know, you have to manipulate things on your side of the board. Be careful about what your opponent does a little bit more to watch her big abilities from going off instead of having to hook.
Yeah, because if you read the lore that they released on the mothership, like, she's a desperate person. Like, Innistrad is not a good place. It's really bad for people. And especially considering that the werewolves had a really crappy rap in the last time they were shown, things got a little better for them, and then it sounds like things got really bad for them.
Yeah. Well, especially with the fact that it seems like Avacyn and the other angels and stuff like that are starting to become corrupted and basically turn against everything from what it seems. It's, you know, it's not only the werewolves, it's like the normal humans and stuff now are just in grave peril at this point. So no, everybody's kind of messed up on the plane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to have to wait until they reveal, but at the same time, it brings a lot of speculation as to how they did the R&D for her, because this is like uncharted territory.
Yeah, agree.
Oh, man.
It also kind of raises, just by the lore points and stuff like that, and planeswalkers, I'm also kind of curious if we're going to hear anything more about Tamiyo in this one, instead of just, like, her notebook or whatever it is, the artifact later on.
Oh, her journal.
Tamiyo's journal, yeah. I kind of wonder if we're going to hear anything more about that, or, like, if something happened to her on Innistrad or something like that, because normally somebody like that wouldn't leave their journal behind, so it adds up an interesting lore point as well.
I mean, it could be foreshadowing to the next set or sets after.
Oh, yeah. Familiar face on that card, too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's favorite blue planeswalker.
Yeah. I mean, it seems as though there's several cards there that reference that moment. Like a piece of the puzzle, pour over the pages. It all seems to be Jace going over that journal. So.
No, absolutely. But all of this, how do you guys feel about the investigate mechanic to get clue artifacts?
I do kind of like it. I think it's interesting, and I remember what you were saying before about the whole idea that people are just gathering up PA and Kira and LRs now, just for that sort of thing. So
people are starting to buy up PA and Kira because people want to chuck clue stones at people.
Oh yeah, and I do think they missed out on a great opportunity on that one, though, because P and Kira and Alar's ability is only two red, two other and a red. If it was a three red, if it was three other and a red, they could, you know, hit people with a clue by four. So that's just my
And Mitch was out punned.
Yeah, you
don't worry, I'm gonna beat him for it later.
Yeah. I have my moments. You know I work now. I have to keep on my toes. I have to keep up with those people.
There's John's one for the month. Oh, man. You guys realize that Shadows of Innistrad is, like, less than a month away?
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, we just got Oath. Like, we just finished covering Oath.
The new rotation stuff for how they're doing standard now and everything is really interesting, and it seems though... It seems there's a longer time between the large set and the smaller set, and a shorter time between the smaller set and the larger set that comes after. So I don't know if that's exactly a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, I guess time will tell since this is new territory for them as well.
Yeah, I kind of like it. You know, it seems like exactly what it needs to be to keep everything kind of rotating in the best way, because... You know, beforehand we would have, you know, because it was block two expansions, core set, block two expansions, core set, and we'd have eight sets to pull from. Except those two expansions were always not so great because they were sharing the same quote-unquote good card pool. And so now, with this rotation, we'll end up with, what, three different blocks with good set, not as good set, not as good set. And I think this is healthier, especially for probably keeping the decks rotating throughout standard.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that. It's going to shunt a lot more creativity and stuff into decks when you don't have When you have things rotating on a quicker basis, usually you're going to have a lot more creativity in what you can do.
Yeah, and it's a lot healthier for just the financial aspect of it as well, just because those third sets, they were usually, a lot of them in general were just terrible except for one or two cards. And, you know, those one or two cards, if they end up coming out and just breaking the format, namely Jace the Mind Sculptor, Bonfire the Damned, things like that, they're much more than they should be, or that they have any right to be, and making it just harder for people to actually get into the format.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the big thing now that's going to be odd is, because this will only happen this one time, is that we're losing our 3-block with, we're losing Cons and Fate when Shadows comes out, so it'll be Dragons and Magic Origins as one quote-unquote block.
Yeah.
Then there's Battle and Oath, and then Shadows. So we're going to end up getting the trail end of a 3-block, and, I mean, Dragons was a very strong set regardless. There were very, you know, there's a lot of good cards in it. There were, you know, very, very powerful things in there. But at the same time, a lot of them did kind of feed the other sets. So the question becomes, how many decks actually pick up cards from Dragons still?
I want to say the commands are still going to be pretty potent, considering they're 2-color, and they would kind of fit into the whole Shadows over Innistrad thing if you're doing 2-color. But I think that might be about it, personally.
Yeah,
the commands, the regents.
Well, two of the regents, really, realistically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the Dragon Lords?
I could potentially see Atraka. Yeah, there's Kolaghan and potentially Atraka. I think Atraka's a thing right now, but...
Isn't Silmagar still kind of played? Or is he like a one-off, like...
Yeah, he's like a one or two of in a control deck.
Yeah.
Because I know Ojutai and Silmagar pretty much go hand in hand still.
Yeah, and I think, isn't Collected Company in Dragons?
Yeah, Collected Company.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that is definitely one that's going to keep around, especially with the Reflector Mage and Displacer recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that'll stay. But yeah, I mean, it's like, how many cards are really going to still impact Standard from Dragons without... Because, I mean, we do lose a lot of stuff. We lose... Especially losing all of the Cons. We lose all the fetch lands.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start depending on the battle lands and the pain lands.
Yeah, and you lose the tri lands as well.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And, you know, whatever lands come out in Avacer, sorry, Innistrad here. Yeah, Shadows here too.
And I don't think they're going to bring back the original Innistrad duels.
The enemy light buddy lands? Yeah, I don't think so.
I just don't see it happening.
They could do a variation on the battle lands in this one, maybe just to speed that up a bit, because we still don't have the enemy light colors. And that seems to be kind of a thing with Innistrad, is enemy light lands, but we'd have to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
they're usually pretty good about keeping us in dual lands, so we'll see how they do.
Yeah, and it's going to be a whole new learning curve. Like, you know, instead of people constantly kind of following the same deck building formulas, like, because of the new rotation setup, and because this is like, you know, this will never happen again unless they change it back and then change it again, which will never happen.
Yeah,
you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing to figure out, how do we build with this new weird rotation?
Pretty much.
Yep. But I mean, there's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of things coming up, and one of the things that's actually being heavily speculated right now is Eternal Masters.
Oh, yeah.
That's getting a lot of interest right now, because the only 2 cards they've shown is some of the most expensive cards in Magic, and especially since they're both uncommons. Well, they were both debuted as uncommons.
Force of Will and Wasteland.
Yeah, and...
yeah.
I very much agree with them putting Force of Will at a mythic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if this was their plan to get people to revive Vintage and Legacy, I kind of feel like they're going to have to dig really deep, and they're maybe going to have to go back on something they've stated. And yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to bring anything off the restricted or, you know, the list, but
we're probably not going to see duels or anything like that.
No, picture. But that would be a huge, huge way to get people to buy this.
Maybe they'll do dual expeditions in Eternal Masters.
Well, no, because then they're still technically duels.
Oh, no, I know. I was just making a joke, honestly. Oh.
I was going to say, that's a lot of wishing and hoping there.
I think somebody opening like an $8,000 Underground Sea would be very happy, but still.
Well, they reprinted them in one of the Masters Edition sets, but I don't think they'll do those again.
I believe that was only the online version of Eternal Masters.
Yeah, Magic Online, they can print whatever the heck they want.
Yeah, sorry. I talk mostly just about MTGO, and I forget that there's paper sometimes.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
Yeah, no. It'll be interesting because, you know, there are, you got to think of, you know, because there aren't that many Legacy decks. If you think realistically, yeah, you can make anything, but the top tier Legacy decks that are out there and the top tier Vintage decks, they never change. Those are always the same. Those decks never change. Because
you might get a few cards here and there, but that's it.
Yeah, but the formula is always the same.
Yeah, it's like I tell people, you know, there's a huge buy into Legacy where it's like, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 for a really good deck. But how often does that deck change? How often do you need to keep rotating that out? I think the last time we had a major shakeup in Legacy for any sort of deck was Snapcaster Mage, maybe? Question mark?
Delver.
Well, that was the same set, too.
Yeah.
So that, Delver, Snapcaster, that was about it.
Yeah, the last two major ones were Delver and Stoneforge.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really about it. So, yeah, it's not like it shakes things up a lot or anything like that. Like you said, Legacy and Vintage are pretty much static in what you can play in those and be effective in.
Yeah, I mean, so realistically, though, the only time that the deck has actually changed is, like, the deck lists have changed is, like, Eldrazi, because the Eldrazi aggro deck's kind of fat. Like, it's the big thing right now. But, yeah. I mean, you've pretty much got, what, Death and Taxes, Infect, Merfolk, any certain combination of Delver, whether it be Blue-Red or Grixis. You've got, what, like, Bant, maybe?
Bant's still a thing, from what I understand. And I guess occasionally you still have Reanimator or Dredge every now and then, but it's not...
Oh, yeah, no. Lands, Blue-White Miracle, Loam.
Your various Storm decks.
Yeah, Loam and Lands are, like, pretty much the same thing, right?
Just about.
Yeah.
Sneak and Show. Yeah, I mean, it's you run out of decks to name really fast.
Did you say Storm?
Yeah. and then what?
We just put Storm under X Storm because there's a few different variations that are just, you know, basically the same thing.
And then Vintage has what, like, maybe 10 decks that people always play? So like Dredge, Mud, Fish, Oath of Druids, Landstill, Monastery, I think it's kind of...
There's also the, I don't know what they call it, but it's a deck that basically does, you know, Sapphire, Tinker, Blightsteel, Colossus Go.
That's every deck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
That's literally every deck. Even Dredge actually plays Tinker, Colossus.
Gotcha. I don't know that much about Vintage off the top of my head, so...
No, Vintage is one of those things, like, if you really, really, really like being in debt... Then you buy a Vintage deck. Like, that's what you do. You fill out a few credit card applications, you buy a shit ton of cards, and then you play a deck in a dying format.
Gotcha.
And I'm really wondering what's going to happen with Eternal Masters, because it could... I don't think it's definite, but I think it could revive this a bit, but not enough to the point where it's like a staple again.
I think the biggest problem with Eternal Masters is I've actually heard the allocation for this isn't going to be... The allocation is supposed to be about the same as the first Modern Masters.
So which, low.
Yeah, very low. Very low. So I don't know if it's their... I don't think it's... If it's their plan to try and revitalize Legacy, this is not the way to do it, because putting your allocation at such a low point and putting some of these cards... I can understand why Force of Will is a mythic, but it still makes it really hard to get one of the staple cards in Legacy. Yeah. Especially when you combine it with the low allocation, everything like that. It's going to make, if anything, it'll make the problem a little bit worse because those foil force wells in there, maybe not judge foil level, but they're going to be pretty expensive and stuff like that. So.
Well, to be fair, if it's the same print run as Modern Masters 1, it's still really easy to get Modern Masters 1 out there, and it's not that far from actually the lowest that it was.
Yeah,
it's definitely like this is even more of a toss up than trying to guess like Shadows cards, because it's hard to tell one. Like there are the staple Legacy cards, but it's also what staple Legacy cards do they feel that they should reprint?
Yeah,
I mean, they're already making money hand over fist. Now it just becomes like how much more money do we want to make? But at the same time, if their true intention is to try to revive this dying format, like they need to be very, very, very exact on what they decide to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because Modern Masters did exactly what they wanted to. It got people into Modern, it got people playing with older cards, and it got new people to play into a more expensive format to recycle their cards.
Yeah, exactly. I will say one thing about the art direction on Eternal Masters. The Wasteland promo they have, it looks like City of Brass is being destroyed there. And I kind of like that. So I'm kind of eager to see what else they do with the artwork in this set and everything like that. But it's definitely going to be interesting either way. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do and everything like that with it. I hope it does revitalize Legacy because it's definitely one of my favorite formats.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, they're going to have to be really exact with what they do. And
it's going to have to be, it's going to be very hard because they can't reprint a good number of the pillars that they need to make it accessible.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's like, as sad as it is, the Battlelands are kind of your best option towards a replacement for the dual lands, just because with Wasteland being so prevalent in Legacy, most people are getting two basics anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, we'll see. Eternal Masters is supposed to come out pretty soon, and I mean,
is it not,
you
like
know, not only it's exciting. Yeah, it's God.
Yeah,
it's
June 10th.
It's only a couple months away.
Yeah.
Man, we're zooming along here. Yeah, it it's going to be a busy year, especially with like, so we've got, you know, Shadows Over Innistrad coming out in a month. We've got the Eternal Masters coming out in June. And in August, we're going to have another From the Vault, which is Lore. And that's going to be a whole nother, because, you know, the last two From the Vaults were not very good. You know, Annihilation was really not that great, and Angels was okay. And they're going to have to do something really amazing with Lore. Because, first off, they can't print any, you know, anything too game-breaking. But at the same time, how do you capture Lore so perfectly, right?
Yeah.
And where do you start the Lore from?
I just have always never found one that was very interesting to purchase, so.
The Artifacts like one was good.
It's like there's a Chase one, and then, eh.
Well, no, because Artifacts was good because it spoiled sort of Body and Mind. It also gave you Aether Vial, Top. You know, it gave you a lot of good cards, and then From the Vault Lands was pretty good, especially with, you know, the Rise of Commander at the time.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just been garbage. Like, I bought an Annihilation, and I regretted it. You know, I bought Angels, and I was kind of like, okay, I guess this isn't bad. You know, you do get an Avacyn, you get a Limvala.
I need to get more of the Exalted Angels.
Oh, you get an Iona as well. You know, like,
I think one of the better ones was honestly From the Vault 20. Just because you do get like Thran Dynamo, Jason Mind Sculptor, you know, Mother Runes, a lot of interesting stuff there.
Yeah, 20 actually wasn't too bad, but it was mostly just because Jace was there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna be so wild, like trying to figure out how they can get it back to the point of being really good. Though hand in hand, actually, August is going to be a busy month because it's not only from the Vault lore, it's also a new conspiracy. And conspiracy, the first one was great.
Yeah, I was just saying the new conspiracy seems pretty interesting, and the old conspiracy is still incredibly popular. So I'm having some high hopes for this new one.
Yeah, they faked this out a couple times too, because it was first conspiracy, the reign of Brago, and then like. I want to say, like, 2 days later, it was, no, Brago's dead. It's a conspiracy, the empty throne. And they showed Brago being, like, stabbed in the neck with, some, like, a crystal. And then 2 days later, they're like, conspiracy, take the crown. And it shows, I think it's Marchesa, the Black Rose. I think it's her on the throne.
I think so, yes.
And it's like... You know, our post was like, what a roller coaster of a ride with the return of Brago, the assassination of Brago, and now who will take the crown? I mean, Conspiracy was great because it gave somebody, you know, it gave players something fun and different to do. They had the unintended effect of creating one of the most expensive foil planeswalkers with foil Dak Faden being like $400.
Yeah. Jeez.
Like, the regular Dak Faden is like 12. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the problem with Dak was that he's in vintage, so everybody's used to spending way too much money anyway.
Yeah, oh, vintage players walk around with like a grip of cash, and they're just willing to throw it all day just to get something foil in some sort of crazy language.
That should do.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the new conspiracies coming out. I'm looking forward to definitely the new keywords that they did, because the throne was fun. Like, that was a really fun mechanic. And, I mean, I'm honestly looking forward to hopefully seeing more of Dak Faden, because he was such a great character. Like, he's such a... Like, he uses his planeswalking ability literally for the most selfish reason, and that's just to steal shit. He steals as much shit as possible. And, like, I don't know if you guys read the comics, but, like...
Oh, I did.
I have the first 8 issues, I think.
Like, it was so great because he was like, yeah, I'm going to steal that.
And then he did. Like...
And it was like, oh, man, you guys are really mad at me for stealing this. Well, I'm going to go now and I'm going to steal this.
Yeah.
He was such like a weird character for them to make because he was definitely not along the same lines as a typical magic character.
Yeah.
They're always like so righteous in like thinking that their cause is just, and he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna just take this and go.
Yeah, I think the last comic I actually read was he had to do a basically hail jump off the plane he was on, ended up in Ravnica in the Rakdos district, realized where he was as a demon was yelling out his name in a blood curdling rage. So,
yeah, that was great, and especially like. That comic was, they picked a lot of weird promos to include in it because, like, they included Standstill, and it was like, okay, so nobody who reads the comic can get the comic because anybody who wants a promo Standstill is just buying 4 of the comic, taking the cards, and dumping the comic.
Yeah.
And they did that for Faithless Looting as well.
Yeah, I remember that. And High Tide.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did a lot of, like, it was, why would they print this? It seems like if you'd want to prevent people from, you know, it's like they unintentionally affected the second market by printing these.
Yeah.
Those
promos were hot though.
Oh god, I was so excited to get every one of those.
Yeah, I was gonna say they wanted to print an actual decent promo, unlike the giant badger way back when.
Giant badger. Those are 2 of my favorite words.
I did like the giant badger promo with the books. That was actually pretty good.
I'm so sad because, like, back when I started reading, and I actually got the book from the library to get a mana crypt, and I was like, they'll never know if I just do this.
All right, that's about it for this week. Thanks for listening. Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/thechattering. Check out this and other great shows on www.notlg.com. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Night of the Living Geeks.